Blog Talk Radio.
Every day it's our
goal. You better believe
better
it.
Believe it.
Believe it. Believe it.
Every day it's our goal.
Blog Talk Radio.
B-O-G-M. Hey.
I watched Carla start it, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say Too, they came through, taking their debut. Yep. In the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for sight. Maximize potential, reshape your life. Yep. Time ain't never wasted.
Oh, no.
They got blogs with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East.
Uh-huh.
It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of Greece. The radio media is a Maverick Tudor.
Woo!
With Grandma dripping Don Adams Jr. Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building,
building.
O-G-M-A.
Dropped the butt off and then
get blitzed. And it red ice cubes of him. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my page is still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
What's up, family, and welcome back to the Queens of Internet Radio. This is your girl, Carla B., my girls, Queen G, repping the West Coast, EOTM fam, and Say to Say is holding the show down with me tonight. Y'all, and you best believe we are always excited as ever to be right back here in the house with our friends once again, where we are always striving to encourage, empower, and enlighten your mind. And speaking of enlightening, if you're needing some, you will always find it, always, always, when you visit www.queensofinternetradio.com and stream live to all of our shows at www.eotmradio.com. For the entrepreneur in you, guess what? Guess what, y'all? We got a place for you as well. Visit www.eotmspace.com. Spread the word, y'all, and create your space. We are all about increasing networks because we understand that it increases your net worth, or as some people say, your bottom line. And it's that line that counts. Definitely is that line that counts. And Queen G, girlfriend, it's been a minute. Tell me what's crack-a-lacking on the West Coast.
Oh, man, let me tell you. Today, I mean, this weather, it just shocks me. Like, it's such a beautiful day. It's sunny. There's a nice little breeze going through. I just love the weather, you know what I'm saying, in L.A. and out on the West Coast. And I'm just happy to be alive today. I'm happy to be living, you know, waking up to see another day. It's just really a blessing, you know what I mean? And I'm just basking in that, just thanking God for another day. But it's man, it's so beautiful. Sun is out. I'm just enjoying the weather, you know what I mean?
Hey, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, and I know that you are just doing so many great, great things on the West Coast. I'm just hearing so many great things, and I want you to go ahead and give some shout out because I've been seeing your Facebook. You've been putting stuff out about casting. You just had a successful video shoot on some stuff. You're doing so many great things. So, you know, I'm not going to let you do anything else until you shout out what you're doing with Edge Light Entertainment.
See, I tried to get out of that. I was trying to,
please.
You know, slow wallet. But, of course, Carla B is going to bust me out and just, you know what I mean, put me out there like that. But thank you for that intro, Carla. That is such a blessing. Yeah, I don't know. For those who I have as friends on Facebook, I just posted a couple of the projects that I cast this past year. This artist named Loose Logic, who we've had on our radio show before. He's an independent artist out of Orange County. I just cast his music video. That came out. It was released. It was launched. I placed that on my Facebook page, as well as P.E. Boys. That was another music video that I cast. That's out, released, launched. I'm so thankful. Some of the movies, you know, just for those who have me as a friend on Facebook, they'll see I placed some of the postings of the actual music videos on there. And I'm just ready to get some more work done, you know what I mean? I took a little break, but I'm ready. I'm back from vacation and just ready to hit it again. So
that's what's up. That's what's up. And you know, I just love you to death and all you're doing, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait until I get on the West Coast. I get on the West Coast with you girls. We could do some things. It's like Entertainment, EOTM, Radio Media. I could already see it. I can already see
crazy.
It.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're waiting on really quick. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was, before I say that, I know I just cut you off, and I'm kind of good at that, so I'm trying to, I'm trying to get better, Sean Chante, Queen G, I'm trying to get a little bit better, so go ahead and speak your mind, boo-boo.
Say two. Where you at, mama?
Okay, that's what's up. And speaking of say two, we're trying to get her on the line, so what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, Chante, as soon as we come back. What I want to do is you just jump right in, and we're going to start this, get this party started. It's going to be a great show wind up. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with Queen G introducing our topic of discussion. Hold tight, y'all.
We're back, EOPM Radio. Hey, y'all, today we got a hot one. The subject is very, very, very deep. It's a very serious topic, and I want to start by giving the title of it. It's called The Suicide Plague, and it was titled that because today we're actually going to be addressing the subject of suicide. What happens when one takes their own life. It's defined as them taking their own life. And like I said, we're going to address a lot of things today. We have a couple of special guests that are scheduled to chime in a little while. And just sit back, man. Today's show, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. We're going from one extreme to the next, you know, talking about what causes suicide, talking about the psychosis of it, that are having mental problems and issues, people that are on medication, people that take drugs. We're going to go in really, really, really deep today. And I wanted to start this segment with my own personal suicide story that I have. About a week and a half ago, I went along with the pastor to a location where a guy was threatening to commit suicide. And let me tell you, I've never experienced anything like that. It's so heavy duty. It was, the guy was really, really serious about taking his own life. He had a loaded gun, and he was ready before we got there to take action. We literally had to talk him out of it. He was rambling on about, I have to leave this earth. I have to, you know, get away from here. I'm so depressed. You know, I lost my job. I don't have any reason to live. You know, he was upset about his girlfriend not being there for a couple of days. He was also high on cocaine when I got there. And let me tell you, it was the scariest experience, the most spiritual experience that I've ever went through in all my life. We had to be his counselor. We had to negotiate with him to try to convince him not to pull the trigger. We also, our lives were in danger even being there because there was no negotiation with him. We had to, like, calm him down and talk him out of it, try to exchange negative words with positives. You do have a reason to live and still be here. You're not done yet. You know, where he was saying to us, hey, over, I'm done. You know, I can't take this anymore. And let me tell you, when you're faced with a loaded gun and someone that is in that desperation moment without God being in the midst of it, it's like you have no options. We were in danger ourselves as well as that man. He did finally agree to go with us and be transported into a mental institution. But even getting him to that point, it took over an hour to get him to agree to come with us. He had over 10 guns in the house. He had butcher knives all over. I'm talking, he was gone. And they have a term called 5150, which means crazy or, you know, psychotic. That's a term that the street people use or, you know, people use. And when I think about someone that is just at their wit's end, that there's no, you know, going back and talking to them about decisions or trying to change their mind, that guy was every bit of that. He was an ex-war vet. He had pawned everything in his home, you know, to fund his drugs. And just, he was just at his last end. And I'm so thankful that me and that particular pastor got there when we did, because we probably would have rolled up on a different type of scene. And I don't want to talk, you know, the whole way, but I just wanted to kind of share my experience real quick as we get into the segment about how serious this issue is and how there are a lot of hurting people the actual code, it's called the Welfare and Institutions Code. That's what 5150 is. Health and safety.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I wanted to put that out there, too, because we don't want to just talk personal. We want to give actual facts, too. So, Carla, do you have any comments on that?
Well, first off,
you know, I mean, just researching for this topic tonight, I'll say, you know, people who do commit suicide, it's really sad and it's really unfortunate. But I don't want to put out there that this guy that you encountered was just 5150, because I'm from California and I'm from a family of people that are depressed, and I'm sure most African American families can find, you know, at least a handful of individuals in their family that's depressed. And I don't know, I don't want to really get race involved in it, but African Americans, we're a depressed culture, and I'm just keeping it real. You know, it's unfortunate, but you know, as far as suicide and different aspects that probably contribute to it, you know, I'll say this from what I've learned. You know, it's a sense of being a burden to others, and I'm mentioning three key things. And because I don't want to just say the guy was 5150, because I know what that means. That means he's just straight crazy. But number one is
it's a sense of being a burden to others. You know, people, a profound sense of loneliness, alienation, isolation, and three, a sense of fearlessness. All three of these motivations or preconditions must be in place before someone will attempt suicide, and that's a known fact right there. So that guy that had, you know, as you say, 5150, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, one of those or all of those three things played a major, major part in it. And I'll say this from experience of being a person that was depressed. You know, I've committed, I've attempted to commit suicide almost, and I committed it. But I wouldn't be on the airway today if it happened. But I was 14 years old, and I'll say this: among those things that I mentioned, I felt that I was a burden to others. I had a profound sense of loneliness, alienation, and even isolation, because at that point in time, my mom basically she abandoned me. She said, "Go ahead and live who you want to live with." And I just felt, you know, isolated from everything and everybody that I loved at that point. And amongst other things that I, you know, average 15, 14-year-old would experience. But, you know, when I say that as far as the African-American community is depressed, I say that because, you know, I'm African-American. And just from the people that I have been around, you know, almost in every family that I know of, there's someone that's, you know, depressed in some way, be it, you know, and as far as the form of depression, it makes you do so many different things. So we know people that are on drugs, and most of the time people that are alcoholics or on drugs are what? Guess what? Depressed. But I don't want to, you know, take up too much time with that, and I do want to, at this time, go ahead and welcome Say Two Say. We finally got her on after a little bit of technical difficulties. What's good, Say Two?
What's good, Carla? What's popping?
It's been so long. You haven't been on air with Queen G. Shante Gibson, a.k.a. Queen G. She's the sister of singer-actor Tyrese Gibson. Say hello to your co-host.
I am so glad. Hey, how you doing? I am so glad to finally speak to you online, and it's a pleasure, you know, because I really wanted to just get involved and everything like that. But, Carla, I just want to tell you that you are such a strong person, and I'm so sorry to even hear that you ever was considering to take your life in. And if you had did that, I would have never met you. So I am just so glad that you never did that for yourself.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much. It was a tough time in my life. But go ahead and share on as far as what, you know, as Chante, she brought us the segment out. So go ahead and share with us as far as, you know, what you think about the subject. And then we'll turn it back over to Chante so she can start off our first, well, you know, the first segment as far as our questions.
Okay, well, as far as suicide, well, me personally, I just feel as though, like, people have their limits, and depression is such a strong feeling that people like would actually consider taking their own life. And I personally feel as though, like, for you to be like through that type of stage, it's like a devil. It's like the devil is like taking control of your mind, and you really need help. And as far as suicidal people, like, most often they always tell somebody that they trust about their certain emotions and how they feel. And most of the time they do overlook that type of signs. And I just feel as though, like, it's sad, like, for them to want to consider taking their own lives. And I mean, as far as jumping out cliffs and taking pills, and those things scare me to death, and I couldn't even imagine me doing those things. But to them, it's like a normal thought. And I just think that those people just really need someone strong to be there for them and just to continue to encourage them that they do, or they should, consider to be on this earth, because we do need them. And it's just crazy, because, like, a lot of people that I know, yes, you are right, Carla, that a lot of people, well, not even a lot, but the majority, or maybe over half of the people in the world, or depressed, you know what I'm saying, from different things.
Instead of these,
probably from
instead of the economy, that's the part.
Yeah, exactly. Like, from being broke to your girlfriend breaking up with you and things of that nature. But, you know, the best thing people can do is to just pray. It's to just pray and ask for healing. So mm-hmm. That's the thing I have to say about that.
Okay. All right, before we give it back to Shantae, I want to say that we do have one of our other co-hosts. Actually, he has his own show on EOTM Radio, the Don Adams Jr. Show, and he just chimed in really quick, and he wanted to, you know, just to say something on the topic. So you got a minute or two, Don Adams.
Hello. Okay. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
How are you?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. Queen G, good to see you again in action. Semi, I apologize. But you know what? This is certainly a devastating topic. I mean, I know I heard you guys saying that suicide is rampant, or that African Americans are seem to be the most depressed folks around. I'm going to co-sign on some of that, but I'm going to also kind of differ a little bit. You know, suicide is definitely a major issue in American culture. And I agree with what you all are saying about the economy and how things are happening in people's lives that are driving them to that point. And I do believe in what I think it was Satsumi said about prayer being an avenue. But you know what,
yes,
folks, when you're thinking about suicide, I think more importantly than that is getting yourself involved in groups. And I look at it from a social working standpoint, because some of the groups that I've had to deal with, you know, suicide was a major issue, especially with our younger people, because more and more younger people are taking that route out, suicide route out. It's definitely a devastation. I mean, a lot of folks are walking around and they're depressed, and they don't even realize that they're depressed. And I think if we attack that issue right there with the depression and the other things that go along with that, because depression, it's almost like Star Wars, you know, leading to the dark side. Depression is a sure enough path to the dark side of suicide. So, good luck with the topic, ladies. And, Knight Rider, Carla B. wants me to hang out for a minute, but that's fine. But I was going to say good luck with the topic, ladies, and I'm looking forward to sharing. So with that, I'll pass it off.
Thank you, Don. Hearing from you or talking to you. This queen be talking to you. I'm so happy you chimed in. Like, we appreciate you taking the time, man. We know how crazy
you get.
That's why.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Carla, be you there? Knight Rider? Carla,
yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. Did you want me to get into the next segment?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I wanted to, I guess the next order of business was to bring up one of the most recent suicides that we heard about in the media. Marie Osmond's son took his own life by jumping off of a 15-story building. He was 18 years old. And it's not really addressing, like, whether he was depressed or anything like that. I do know that Marie Osmond has, I believe she has 8 children total, but Michael, which is the one that took his own life and jumped off of that building, he is one of her adopted sons. And I know sometime, Carla was addressing about alienation, sometime if you feel like you don't belong to that particular, you're there, but you're not really a part of the family, you know, that he could have come into it with problems already. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what type of family he was adopted from. He may not have felt as if he was one of her actual real children. You just never know where it was stemming from. I have a little story, again, to tell about how I adopted my little brother. I've told that on air before. And I remember when I was pregnant with my 5-year-old daughter, around that time of pregnancy, and he began to recognize that he was not my natural child, he really began to decline and have problems. He started, you know, cutting up in school. He started running away from home. I think the reality of him not really, really being my birth child, it really affected him. And I don't know if this is the reason why Marie Osmond's son jumped off of that building, but I do know that sometimes that could be one of the problems with children that are adopted. And they never feel like they're actually a real part of the family. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to give my condolences to the family, Marie Osmond and her family. I mean, her brother is just really torn up. They are just all just messed up behind this. It was totally unexpected. It was just shocking to the entertainment world. So it's not just happening to normal people only. I mean, we can't put it in a certain class or a certain bracket. It can happen to anyone. You know what I'm saying? And if those who are listening, if you ever hear of anyone declining or going on or talking about those type of thoughts, please don't look over it as if it's nothing. Like, you have to address it. You have to try to get to the bottom of it. You have to try to get them to a counselor. You have to try to get them to a pastor, someone that they respect and love that can really try to talk, allow them to talk their problems out. So I just wanted to start out on that. That's not the only celebrity that we're going to be talking about in this segment.
Right.
That's the most recent one that I heard about. So I wanted to put that out there. Carla.
We appreciate that. We do. And I'll touch on the Marie Osmond tragedy, and then say to you, say you can. But before I do, I definitely want to put some information out there to the listeners. If you or someone you know you're currently thinking or even thought about it in the past as far as suicide, there is help out there, and that's what EOTM is all about. Definitely, you know, putting information out there to our listeners. But you can always go to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline if you know somebody in crisis or if you are, and that number is 1-800-273-8255, and that's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And we'll be giving that number out periodically through the segment. That number, again, is 1-800-273-8255. And first off, as far as what happened with Marie Osmond's son, I want to first off send out my condolences to the entire Osmond family. And I would not even begin to try and speak on what this family is experiencing. This young man jumped from an apartment or a hotel building to his death, and that's so tragic. That is so tragic. And all I can say to this is to the parents to all the mothers, to all the fathers, the sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, listen to our children. And we have to watch certain signs of depression, and we have to make time. Tomorrow is not promised. We have to make time, y'all, for our kids. Tomorrow is not promised, as we see. And speaking of signs, I did read in a report by E! Online that there were signs of depression from this young man. And then he even left a note detailing his depression and how he felt he had no friends and he did not fit in. So, Shantae, you know, you said it when you were talking about the story a little bit ago about how this young man, he was adopted. But, you know, evidently he felt, you know, even though he was around so many people that, you know, a great family that appears to us to be so close-knitted and everything, and they're all about family, he felt he didn't fit into that family. And, you know, you just never know. So, you know, we definitely have to watch our children because, you know, our children, we think we as grown-ups are going through a whole bunch, but our children are. So I know Say Two has something to say on this, and then we'll turn it to Don Adams because he just instant messaged me and said he wanted to chime in on that. Say Two, you got something to share on that?
Yes, I just wanted to comment about this little thing I had read on Entertainment Weekly, and it was basically saying that he basically took his life because of his sexuality. Mm. And sometimes that might be the case as well, because, you know, his sister Jessica is a lesbian, but, I mean, of course she is very well she is cool with that. But as well as males, like, particularly, they are more, what's the term I'm looking for? I would say they are more strict on their emotions as far as their sexuality. And that could be a burden as far as that, because people may talk about you and call you all types of names and things of that nature. But as far as what Shansa was talking about, as far as the adoption thing, I can honestly say I truly understand what she's saying, because my sister was not my mom's daughter. And before she got killed, she always used to tell me, oh, your mom treats you better than me, and she doesn't like me like that, and all those things. And, you know, I can truly understand that. But my thing is, I have a question, well to both of you or the audience, is why is that people that are not related to certain people or their biological parents feel as though that they're not loved by them? Like, don't you think if they had you or they took you in that they would love you, like, the same way as the other child? What do you think of that?
I'm a Queen G.
Go ahead, Shantae. You can start it.
Now, I can only speak for myself. The child that I raised, it's my natural brother. You know what I'm saying? It's my brother by way of my dad and another mom. And
okay.
I do know that he was always feeling like he was alienated, although I treated him with the utmost respect. I mean, you know, I consciously put out the same energy for him. All of that, I don't know, he always felt like, because that's not my real mama, you know, I don't have to respect you the same, I don't have to, you know, do what you ask. I don't know what eyes he was seeing me in, you know what I'm saying, if I could say it that way, or what vision he had for having a real mom. But I do know that he had a history of being in foster homes. He was also transported here and there, back and forth, that would give a child insecurity and make them feel as if they don't belong somewhere. So if you ask me about my little brother in particular, I think he was just always insecure and never felt like he was going to actually have a stable home because of his past. That's my take on it.
Okay. And Don, did you want to chime in on that? Because since you have the social worker background.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think it's kind of hard to kind of try to link suicide to any particular one circumstance or situation. I think that the easiest thing to do is try to remove yourself from that topic physically and mentally and emotionally and try to take a look on the outside. And I think some of the things that we're going to find out is that depression, when a person becomes depressed for whatever reason, that tends to be the major and the most common link that we have in suicide attempts and suicide success when people are successful with going through with suicide. So with that being said, depression doesn't strike any particular age group. I know that here in the United States, depression or suicide is the second leading cause of death amongst our teenagers. It's the second leading cause of death in the United States when it comes to our teenagers. And that's very terrible because we have a lot of kids out there that are depressed is where I'm going. But with that being said, I want to drop some facts on you all about suicide. Number one, many articles discuss the link between suicide and the winter months. A lot of people don't think about how suicide coincides with winter months. Studies have shown that most suicides actually occur during the spring. There are actually fewer suicides committed in the winter months. Number two, in the United States, there are more instances of suicide in the western states than in the eastern states. Number three, suicide is ranked number eight as the leading cause of death among American males.
Wow.
When a male attempts suicide, they are at least four times likely to succeed than females are. Number five, the highest number of suicides are committed by whites, followed closely by American Indians and Native Alaskan men. That's huge. The highest number of suicides are committed by whites, followed by American Indians and Native American, I'm sorry, and Alaskan men. Number six, around 60% of men who commit suicide choose to use a firearm. And number seven, women attempt suicide as much as three times more often than men. Number eight, suicide is the third leading cause of death in adolescents ages 15 through 24. And from 6 to 10,000 elderly people commit suicide each year. Most of them use a firearm. Number 10, nearly six people out of every 100,000 will attempt suicide with a firearm. And by the way, family, Florida has the highest number of suicide deaths overall, closely followed by the state of Texas. Yes, closely followed by the state of Texas. Rhode Island and North Dakota have the lowest number of suicide deaths. Hanging accounts for one-fifth of all suicides. Suicide is ranked number 11 in the leading cause of death amongst all Americans. There are nearly 1 million suicide attempts in the United States each year. And finally, I'm down to the last two. A suicide occurs every 17 minutes in the United States. And here's the greatest one, and I'm glad I saved this one for last. Black females have the lowest suicide rate of any group in the United States.
Well, all right.
I wanted to share those with you all, and I wanted to once again say, thank you all for having me on. And taking on this topic because it's definitely something that our family out there needs to know about.
That's what's up. That is what's
wow.
up. Thanks so much for that. I want to definitely let the listeners know that this show is going to be a 2-hour segment. So if we see you are chiming in and things of that sort, we're getting instant messages. So just be patient, and we'll be getting your questions and stuff on. And then we do have a featured guest that Shantae or Queen G, I'm sorry, girlfriend, Queen G invited onto the panel. So what I want to do right now, though, really quick, because I know Sweet Tea is chiming in also and she wants to speak. Let's take a quick commercial break. Let's listen to a little bit of Yahaloma. Song is titled Super Love.
We'll come back with Shante, and she'll open it up for Sweet Tea, one of our EOTM personalities. Hold tight, y'all.
Welcome back, you guys. We're today talking about a heavy-duty subject, which is suicide. And we just appreciate all the comments, stories, everyone so far that has chimed in. This is just, man, I mean, you don't realize how this subject affects so many people. Sweet Tea, are you on the line with us? We want to talk to you real quick and get your opinion on this subject.
You should be there, Sweet Tea.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, Sweet Tea.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear.
Hey, Sweet Tea.
Hey, you know, not trying to be funny, but on the other end, I'm really just having flashbacks of something, and I was kind of getting emotional on the other end, a story that I want to share with y'all. You know, I really truly believe that God breathed people in your life for a reason. And everybody who know me knows that I'm a people person, and I like to talk and everything. But the story that I'm about to tell you is, to this day, I didn't know the lady personally, but I met her like one time, and it's hunting me to this day because I feel like I could have helped her. And I remember I moved back to Chicago. This happened like 7 years ago. And me, my cousin, and like all her friends who worked with her, they rented a van, and we was going downtown Chicago go see a little drag queen party. You know how they entertain you. So I'm like, ooh, I've never been to one of those. So we was all happy. It's like 8 females. So it's like one girl in the back, she was like real, real big. And she was sitting in the back with me. And I looked at, I heard her like breathing real hard, you know, and I looked at my cousin, I'm like, what's wrong with her? You know, she okay. Then my cousin like poked me on the side of my stomach, like, be quiet. But it wasn't the point that I was trying to talk about it. I was really concerned because everybody laughing in their own little world. But my cousin took me to the point like she thought I was trying to be funny. So anyways, we wound up going to the place. We everybody ordered drinks and everything. But I kept looking at her, but she didn't look like she was real happy. But my cousin once again out of my ear, like, be quiet, T, be quiet, and just leave her alone, let her enjoy herself, you know what I'm saying? But I felt like in my heart, if I would have spoke to her after what was wrong, I don't know, maybe I don't, this is just how I feel, because of what I'm about to tell you kind of, you know, hurting me a little bit. I mean, I came, after we left and everything, we wound up going home and all that stuff. You know, and the girl got in the car, and she was in her own little world. Everybody, you know, laughing, girl talk. And she just wasn't really not saying anything. So I remember that I went a week later after that. I remember I came out to Atlanta before I moved out here to visit my sister. And I remember getting a phone call from my cousin. And I was like, what's up? What's up? And she was like, I think you need to sit down for this. I was like, what? I don't know if you remember this, Colby. And she was saying, my friend, she killed herself. She actually, what she said, what happened, because this is going to trip y'all out. I think she took, like, first a lot of pills. So they rushed her to the hospital. And then my cousin said, when she realized she was still alive, and she was very upset that she was still alive, that she walked, took the elevator all the way up to the top floor of the hospital and jumped.
Wow.
Yeah, she was pissed off that she was still alive and jumped. And then she was still kind of breathing still after she jumped. But she wound up dying. My whole point is people don't know what people are going through on the inside. And I feel like if I had the opportunity to sit there and talk to her, and you never know what she would have shared with me, and maybe I could have gave her some kind of advice, and it's just hunting me to this day. I just really feel like I could have did something. And I'm getting kind of emotional because somebody has to really go through something real bad to want to kill themselves like that. Because I'm going to tell you like this, everybody get depressed. But if you don't have God in your life, you're not going to get anywhere. Because the main thing God say, you kill yourself, that's a real big sin. And before I kill myself and have to face the Lord like that, I'd rather stay alive until he's ready for me to leave. Because everybody know their birthday, but nobody know their death day. So I don't care how depressed I get, I turn to the Lord. And when I realized how depressed that girl was, and she was pissed off that she was still alive, and she took the top floor up to the elevator, that made me a reality check kicked in and said, I don't care what I'm going through, I love myself enough to stay alive. Whatever she was going through, she didn't love herself. And I wish that I had the opportunity to talk to her. And to this day, that hurts me. Because
wow.
I'll never forget her across the table looking like she was there, but she wasn't there. And my cousin was telling me she was in an abusive relationship. Like, he had called her all kind of names. And then she already overweight it. Overweight, and she go to work. You just never know what she was. She just couldn't deal with life no more. And I just wish that I could have had the opportunity to talk to her. So I just wanted to share my story.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep. And
yeah, you know that.
I know that you may feel like, you know, you weren't there to help her, but with that story, you never know who you might be helping. And I want to put that number out there again for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 1-800-273-TALK is 1-800-273-TALK. And Sweet Tea, that was definitely an emotional tale, and we appreciate you sharing it. With that, I want to turn it back over to my co-host, the one who made this show happen tonight, Queen G, so we can start our next segment. Queen G, you with us?
Yes. Sweet Tea, that was
yeah.
Real heavy. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you heard the story I told about a week and a half ago, being in the middle of myself and a pastor preventing this guy from committing suicide. It's so heavy. Like, you know, and I can understand why it would bring tears to your eyes. I'm still emotional about it. I'm still still going through the whole thoughts of we could have come face to face that close to death. You know what I mean? Like, not that death scares me, but because, like you said, our destiny of when we're gonna die is left up to, you know, God or, you know, but it just scared me, the fact that we came that close to it, and that this guy, you know, he was very depressed. I didn't get an opportunity before that night to even share with him or talk to him, but I know he gave us an earful about his problems and what he had been going through. Lost his job, lost his bank account, lost everything that he knew that was stability for him. I'm talking even his apartment. As a result of the financial loss, he lost his apartment. And people are at just their lowest, and you just don't know where they're at. You know what I mean? You could be looking at them one day, and then they're gone tomorrow. And it's just the most devastating effect. You know, the after effect is very devastating, and it's not easy. You know, so, again, if there, for our listeners, if there's anyone that you know of that looks as if they need help or is seeking help or is talking about it, please reach out to our hotline. Carla, can you give that number again one more time, please?
Yeah, yes. That was the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that number is 1-800-273-TALK. And, Shante, I know you're going into our next segment dealing with suicide, but I just got an instant message from a friend. So if you don't mind, take about a minute. Read it. And she titled it Trying to Understand. This is Teresa from California.
She says, I never thought I'd be raising my son alone, but my husband committed suicide on Thanksgiving of 2009. You would never believe he was suicidal because he always smiled with everyone. We had been together for 12 years with a few problems in between. He was a working alcoholic and abused prescription drugs while we were married. After 12 years of marriage, I found out he had molested my two girls when they were only 8 and 10. I was devastated and didn't understand how someone could hide this act or even do it. He was a Christian and studied the Bible and went to church with us. A little while after that, he lost his job after 31 years and everything went downhill. I decided to leave him and take my 10-year-old son until he got help. 1 week before I was to move, he shot himself in the head in our house. He was depressed but didn't want to go for help. He just wanted to die. I didn't think it was selfish because it was his choice, and that is what he left in a letter. He left 4 beautiful kids not understanding what happened. This is help. There is help out there, but if you don't ask, you won't get it. He totally turned his back on God. God says, I will leave you or forsake you. If you are thinking of giving up, please don't. There are people who care. My husband had 500 people show up at the memorial, but he felt he was all alone. He thought about this for a long time. It wasn't overnight. Don't let the negative voices deceive you. And that was from Teresa from California. She's just chimed into the, actually my instant messenger. And our instant messenger is EOTM_on BTR. So if you have a comment or something that you want to make and you can't get on the phone line, definitely go to my instant messenger. It's on Yahoo. And again, that is EOTM_on_BTR, Blog Talk Radio. That's what BTR stands for. And thanks for that, Teresa. And I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you, Shante.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. we're going to switch it up a little bit. I'm so sorry, Teresa, that happened to you. One of the things that stood out to me about that story is that he had been contemplating it for a while. Most times, you know, it doesn't come overnight. It begins with maybe a thought, and then something that happens in our life triggers it. You know what I mean? It adds to it. And then, you know, your thoughts could be your worst enemy. You could think yourself into a negative, you know, mood even, if you think about it. Just like you could say, I'm happy today, you could also say and confess with your mouth that I'm sad or I'm upset, or and your mood will switch to fit or match that particular instance. And that's another really serious thing. Like, we have to stay in situations that are feeding our minds positive thoughts. If being a Christian or going to church does that for you, please get involved in a church. If, you know, the people that you hang around are very negative, you have to switch that up, because eventually it will begin to transform you and change you. You have to be careful of who you talk to, who you're around, you know, what's being fed into your mind. All of those things are very, very serious things, and we have to be careful. I'm even saying that to, you know, my EOTM co-host and just all of our EOTM family. I mean, we deal with a lot of things in the entertainment business, and we have to try to keep our minds sharp and, you know, healthy. Our mind is a muscle. You know, you have to you have to take care of it just like you would your body. So that's my thought on that. I would like to go into our next segment, introducing our special guest of the evening. This special lady is so dear to me. I've been knowing her over 18 years. She's my, I'm going to put it out there, she's my ex-mother-in-law. She's also my pastor. She led me to Christ many years ago. My mentor, my friend, she is just so sweet. Just, I mean, I've been knowing her for a very long time. I would like to introduce Pastor Helen Price to our table. And, Pastor, do you have any comments or anything to chime in about on this subject?
I sure do. Thanks. Thank you so much, Queen G, for that introduction. I'm just, it was just a blessing. I've been sitting here listening for the last, I guess, about hour or so, and it's just been profound to hear every one of the comments from Carla's comment to Don, the social worker, with all the profound comments and information with Sweet Tea. I've been taking a lot of notes as I've listened, and I've really been just blessed to hear all of the different, and not only blessed but affected by hearing all of the many comments that have been said. And in doing so, I know our time is so limited, so I would like to comment on a lot that was said, but I want to be able to give from a Christian and a spiritual point of view, as I know it, what some of these things concerning suicide, maybe give you some food for thought. I love what Don did, and he came with a lot of statistics that he came, and they were just so wonderful to hear those statistics, because it's so important that we know the mechanisms of what actually happens where suicide is concerned. So I'm going to say it real quick. I want to say this. I want to thank you all for having me here today. I'm taking this opportunity to maybe be able to shed a little light from a Christian point of view of how we may see it. I've been in the ministry now for 30 years this month, and I've walked close to the Lord for the last 32 years. I received Christ in 1958, but I didn't walk close until about 32 years ago. And so I've come up on a lot of the situations, and God really began to open the eyes of my understanding about this thing, this mechanism of suicide. And I want to be able to share just a couple of things from a scriptural point of view. I want to share just two scriptures really quickly. One, I want to address the fact of, is suicide the sin that is a sin unto death? If you commit suicide, it say in the Bible that if you commit suicide, you will die, or there is no forgiveness for suicide? Well, I want to address that first by reading a very quick scripture. It's only two, and they're not real long. One scripture is found in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and this scripture is Matthew, the 12th chapter, and it starts at verse, you know, the fan would blow the page, right? It starts in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verse 31. It says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come."
And they call this the sin unto death, which is blasphemy. That's the sin that will not be forgiven. Did anybody? Are you all there? John? Okay. No, I just got some feedback. I was hearing some feedback. Can you hear me?
Yeah, are you near a computer or?
No, I'm not near a computer or anything. All of a sudden, it just kind of.
We hear you.
Okay. So that first sin that they talk about is sin unto death. A lot of times there are people who are about to, we don't know what happens when they're getting ready to commit suicide. If they're going to say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm doing. So we don't know for sure if the sin of suicide is a sin unto death. We know that the sin of blasphemy is. That's when you attribute something that the Holy Spirit has done, and you attribute that thing to the devil, or you say that it's not really of God. So that's what they call a sin unto death. Then I want to go really quickly. I'm only touching on that because we could go into, because I know we don't have a lot of time. But the second thing I wanted to go into is about this mechanism. I want to give you food for thought very quickly on the mechanisms from a spiritual point of view of suicide. First of all, suicide is a spirit. It is a tag-along spirit. It is an attachment spirit, and I'll let you know in just a few seconds what I mean, but I want to read a scripture from that one, and this one is found in Mark, the ninth chapter. In Mark, the ninth chapter, and it starts at verse 20, and it talks about a little boy who had a suicide spirit on him. It really starts at verse 18, a little bit more than that, but I'm just going to go here. And it says, one of the multitude answered him and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. That's verse 17. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The spirit would take that little boy and throw him into the fire and into the water to try to destroy him. What I found out over the years is suicide is a tag-along spirit. It tags along with many other kinds of spirits. One of the main ones it tags along with is hopelessness. Of course, it will tag along with the drug spirit, alcoholism, addictions, even food addictions. It'll tag along with those spirits of unforgiveness. One of the major ones I see that it also tags along with is the spirit of vengeance and retaliation. Y'all get back at all of you guys. I'll kill myself and everybody will be sorry for what I did. That's one of the things that it tries to, and unforgiveness. As with the lady, with Teresa, whose husband took his life, it'll tag along with that spirit of shame. It'll tag along with unforgiveness, while a person can't be able to forgive themselves. Now, then the last part that I want to be able to talk about those mechanisms very quickly is some people say, well, how can somebody do that? How can someone do that? How can they get to the point where they can listen to this kind of voice? Well, as a Christian, If we have a healthy Christian walk in God, if we started off right, you know, like, well, I have a lot of children. I have 8 children, 25 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren. And each time they have, if they're healthy, they're going to begin to learn how to walk. They learn how they learn to listen to mom and dad's voice. They learn how to walk and so forth, and they have a progression. Well, in the walk of Christ, when we come into God, the first thing we do is we learn how to listen to the voice of God. We begin to get into the Word to renew our minds so we can listen to God's voice. Then we begin to walk in the Spirit. We begin to walk out on what we've heard, the Word that we've heard. Then we begin to get to the place where we are led by the Spirit of God, where God can tell us to turn left, we can turn right. And then we get to a point where we become what we call co-laborers with God. We begin to say, Lord, we know what's on your heart. We learn to listen to your voice. We know you. We know that your souls are so important to you. We know that compassion to be able to help someone. So we go through those phases of walking in the Lord and a healthy walk in God. But then in the world, the devil wants to be able to duplicate or to counterfeit exactly what God does. First of all, he wants us to begin to listen to his voice. He has to train people to listen to his voice.
Then he begins to train people how to walk. It's a progression that takes place to walk in his spirit. To walk in, he'll begin with little innuendos, words, like we said, with depression or hopelessness. There's no hope. There's no way. That's why you'll see a lot of times, you'll see, well, you see a lot of white people who may come in. Not all, but you'll see a lot of white people who kill themselves because they have listened to the wrong voice. They've been trained in the wrong voice. And then he'll begin to teach them how to walk in his spirit. They'll begin to do, I'm talking about the enemy, to begin to do. He'll start off with little increments that they'll be able to obey little things that he tells them to do. And just like God wants us to be led by his Holy Spirit, the devil wants us to begin to be led by his spirit. And then ultimately, he wants us to begin to be a co-laborer with him, to be to the point where we can begin to do what he loves to do, which is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so he begins in that place. So what do? We know that there is that progression. And then I heard where Don talked about the solutions. One of the things I heard over and over again about renewing our mind, being able to stay in groups. We call it fellowship in the Word of God. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. To be able to have some encouragement. I'm on Facebook. And on Facebook, my whole ministry site on my page is a page of encouragement. There are a lot of people that beat people over the head. And the Lord said, you will not do that on Facebook. He said, I have you on there so that you can encourage your heart, especially during the night seasons. And I have where one young man, and I'll say my little story here very quickly and I'll stop. One young man, he began, a lot of them want to call me mom from all over the world. I'm mom. I'm pastor mom. I'm mummy. I'm mom. I'm a god mom to so many around the world. And one young man, I missed his birthday. I didn't know it was his birthday. I didn't pay attention to it. But as we began to talk, the Lord began to show me there was a spirit of suicide with this young man. But the spirit of suicide was a spirit of retaliation and vengeance. His mother came from Africa and came over to America, to Virginia. He wanted to pay his mother back for her leaving him over there in Africa. He's 21 years old, very spoiled, had been the only child, and he could not deal with it. And we've been praying. So one of the things that the solutions that I had to begin to encourage his heart to talk to his head, but also to be able to pray, to come against, because I know ultimately in the spirit realm, it's the spirit that is involved there. When Queen G talked about going to that man's house that had those guns and was about to kill, the first thing that pastor had to do was she had to take authority over those spirits that were trying to work with his mind. Many times we have to cast down every vain imagination, every hot thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And there has not been a time in my life, I'm a black woman, so there was not a time that I ever thought about suicide until I became overweight. And when I became so overweight, I saw a spirit all of a sudden that said, you might as well kill yourself. You might as well kill yourself. You will never lose weight. And that is the biggest lie. So I could see where this spirit piggybacks on addictions. It piggybacks on drugs. It piggybacks on alcoholism. Before I came to Christ, I was an alcoholic where there seemed to be no hope. So I just want to be able to say to the listeners that are there today, there is hope for you today. There is a God in heaven that said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. If you're in a situation where you may be facing, where you're in that, and one of the greatest things is when your heart is broken and when you the pain of a broken heart, when you're brokenhearted with someone. And God is saying, I specialize in healing the broken heart. And you don't have to obey the voice of the enemy. Check who you're listening to. Check what words you're hearing. And then if you have begun to see the mechanisms of where the enemy is trying to lead you into a wrong place, I don't care if you're a teenager, a preteen, you may be a teenager right now, you might be a mother at home, you might be overweight, you might be on drugs, you might be in situations where you just seems like there's no way out. But God said, I am the way. Somebody said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know why? Because he is the way. So that's the word I wanted to be able to quickly, I know I'm talking a little bit fast on the program today, but I wanted to be able to share some of the mechanisms from a Christian aspect as how we see this thing about suicide. God bless you all.
Oh, my goodness. Woo. You guys, that was heavy. That was very powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor, for giving us that aspect of things. Don, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I sure am.
I don't know why, but I was led to go to you to, like, comment on what Pastor just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about
I think that she was right on point with everything, and I want to commend her for choosing her words as carefully or speaking as elegantly as she did. She was right on point, and I think that it's important for a lot of folks to understand. I think some of what she may have been mentioning, Pastor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that people are, you're always engaged in what's called a spiritual warfare. And what happens, I think, is that in a lot of folks' minds, they want to turn to counselors and social workers in different avenues, but rather than going, you know, to Christ or to where, you know, they should go for the source of release from what they're dealing with. And what tends to happen is you end up listening, like the pastor said, to the wrong things. And, you know, it's almost like going to the doctor, going to a podiatrist, and you have a heart problem. The podiatrist, you know, I mean, if he's a good doctor, he's going to send you the way you need to go. But if he's a quack, or if he's money hungry, or if he's got some additional issues, or whatever the case may be, he's going to try to treat some of what you're dealing with, and then eventually send you to the heart doctor when he thinks that it's at a critical moment, when he knows, hey, there's nothing else I can do to siphon this out of you. So what I'm saying is this, is that folks need to realize that you are always, as long as you are on the face of this earth, going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. And some of what Pastor was saying, I think, and Pastor, you can correct me again if I'm wrong, is that, you know, knowledge is power. You have to recognize when you're dealing with certain types of spirits and certain types of things that are coming at you. Because once you can identify what those are, then you're able to deal with them effectively. You know, there's no point in going to see a foot doctor when you have a heart problem. I'll just keep that analogy on the table. But I really appreciate those words, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Don. Carla, Sweet.
I'll let Sweet Tea and Say Two chime into that, and I'll chime in a little bit later.
Okay. Say Two.
Okay, Sweet Tea, go ahead. We'll wait for Say Two to come back on. Okay, Sweet Tea, we look like we dropped Sweet Tea.
I tell you what, can I say something since they're not there?
Yeah.
You know what? I want to say this, too, to the family out there. And something came to mind about the story that Sweet T had mentioned. You know, I find this to be so true. And, Pastor, you know, and no offense to anyone else on the line when I put this comment out there, but I'm going to say this, and I like to take the gloves off and keep it real. You know, people, when you do things to folks, you don't understand what it is that you put them through. And for that reason alone, I like to live by the word. When I say I like to live by this code, is that when it comes to dealing with other people, I try to be very careful about how I deal with them, because you don't know how they're going to receive that and what buttons it's going to push and where it's going to put them. You know what I'm saying? So that's very critical. You know, and I talked once before, Pastor, about spiritual murder, how people are killing other people and not realizing, and it's worse when you kill them spiritually because that person is living with what you've done. Whereas death takes them to another place. But, you know, when you kill someone, and one of the things I tried to use, Pastor, as an analogy was in dealing with child support, because I do a lot of child support shows. And I found, too, that a lot of the folks out there that are doing some of these wrong things tend to be the same folks that want to hide in the church and think they're doing the right things. And I say it like that to say this, that, you know, some of these people tend to try to verbalize or, you know, word it in a way to try to make themselves internalize and make themselves feel good about what they're doing to others, not realizing or ignoring the fact that you're really killing people spiritually when you do these evil things to them.
That's real heavy.
Wow. Yeah, it was definitely powerful. It was. No, I'll say had to drop off. So I want to thank you for giving us your time, and I want to just touch on a little bit of what Pastor Helen shared.
You are, I know where you're a pastor, you're an evangelist. Your words are so powerful, and I know without a doubt that you've helped somebody tonight, and you can't even begin to comprehend how deeply. And I'm going to say that on a very personal note. You know, definitely powerful, so thought-provoking, and you hit everything on the nail and just coming from a spiritual standpoint. So with that, I just want to say thank you so much for that, Pastor Helen. Let me go ahead, and you, I know you it seemed like you were trying to hurry up and rush through it, but you better believe this show, this is you. So you got as much time as you need. So no rushing. We got about 40 minutes left. You don't have to rush. You got as much time. So if you want to chime on to something that, you know, Shante shared or Don shared in regards to what you shared, please, by all means, go ahead and do so now.
Okay, that was one point I kind of just went over very quickly, but I want to go back to it because the Holy Spirit is really ministering to my heart about this particular area. And this is the area in the area where suicide concerning those who have broken hearts. I want to come back to that because we live in a social network situation now where you can come online and it's, they have a new program out that is a new television program. This new television program was 2010. Some 2010 people are being transported back to 1986. And when they get back to 1986, they say, what? We got to start. We can't text anymore. We got to start talking to people again. And so what has happened now is that we have a generation of people that are falling in love without ever seeing a person's face. We have people that are falling in love and having their hearts affected emotionally, having hearts broken through text messages, sound bites, little blurbs that are coming along the way. And one of the things that I like to be able to encourage people's hearts and along the way is to be able to say that Jesus specializes. He specializes in healing the brokenhearted. This is a word to somebody today that may be listening. And you may have been in a situation with someone. You may even be involved in chatting or the Skype or whatever it is that is there. And you've gotten emotionally involved with someone along the way. And things have just turned all off and turned all awry. And God wants to be able to tell you the scripture. There's a scripture that says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. There is no one that can sit on the throne of your heart and not break it but Jesus. That's why the Word of God says that we're to love the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our mind, all of our strength. So then if we're to do all of that and to love Him with all of that, how in the world can we love somebody? What can we do with our hearts? What can we do? We can love out of our hearts, out of the love that God gives. But God is the only one that we can love with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength. I'm really addressing this to someone that may be listening online today, and they're going through a broken heart, and they feel like, does anybody know what I'm feeling? Does anybody care and know how I'm hurting? Well, one of the things I can say to you is this: if you will come and wrap yourself up with Jesus, I'm talking about set yourself in a position where you can be able to let God come in and do what He does best, is to heal that broken heart. He'll do it. I've been on. The Lord gives me words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And I have a friend of mine that I met when she was 18 years old and was taking her home. And all of a sudden I felt a pain that I had not felt since I was a young girl, when I was hurt as a young girl in a situation. And I felt this pain. God gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, girl, are you hurting? And she says, yes. She says, I'm in love. And she went through the whole scenario of what was going on, and ultimately she was having a broken heart. And so was able to minister to her. So I'm just saying to someone, and the reason I'm bringing that up is that this, whoever I'm talking to, and it may be more than one person, you may be even at the point where this brokenheartedness, because of the pain being in such an intense pain right now, you may be even considering suicide. And God said, don't do it. Don't do it. He said, I'll specialize it. All you have to do is ask me. If you'll say, Lord, heal me, I need you to heal my heart and heal my life. And you may be someone like who I talked about that's overweight. And you may say, oh, my goodness, I'm tired of being fat. I don't want to be overweight anymore. But you can still come to God in that because he specializes in that. He specializes. I have my son is listening now, and Sean can tell you he was right at 400 pounds. He weighs now about 200 pounds and has lost a lot of weight. God will specialize, even with myself. God put me on a program, lost 40 pounds at first, another 28 pounds. God is able to do it. He said there's nothing too hard for him. He's able to work it out. And if you're on drugs and you're on alcohol and you want a way out of that, there are still places that you can go to get help. There are places, you know, I heard Don say, and Don, I thank God for you. I thank God for you because I believe that we need every part. God raises up people with special talents, special abilities. He graces us for those for his people. You know, I know sometimes we say, well, the doctors, the nurses, the counselors, we just throw them to the side. But I believe in my heart that even they are expressions of God's mercy and grace. Because how many people would have left this world if there wasn't somebody who knew how to deal with the human psyche, with the human mind, with that human mind? And I say to you that even if I would love for you to go to church, I would love for you to get into a place where deliverance could be done and you can have light shined into your mind. I'm talking to someone today that may be going through and saying, I'm in drug and alcohol, but they have a lot of places where you can go and get some kind of help and be able to get the help that you need. So these are I'm an encourager. If you don't know this, I'm one of those ones that I'm a Barnabas. I'm one that will encourage a person to get all the help that you need and that it's never too late. That God specializes in helping us in the way that we need it the most. So that's all of right now, because I'll go to rambling on a little bit, and I don't want to do that. But that's I just wanted to encourage someone, don't give up, and don't give
hey,
up.
Ramble on,
Brother Don. Go on, Don, I'm sorry.
Ramble on. We need some more rambling. That's what they need right there.
Wow. Sean, I want to ask Don and Sean before, I want to ask you all this because I come up on this a lot. And I have the Lord, my grandchildren asked me, Sean's daughter is my granddaughter, and her daughter Star came and said, Grandma, so I want to know something, Grandma. So how come you have so many people on Facebook? And the Lord has graced me on Facebook to have 4,000, a little bit over, I'm headed for 5,000. I'm trying to go slow because, you know, you can only have 5,000 people on Facebook before you have to go in either to a fan club. You can keep them, but, you know, with that. Well, I want to share with you in this little bit about that. She said, Grandma, why? One of the things is that God, when God's grace is in operation and wherever his face is turned, God will bless. He'll put his hand on where his face is pointed. And the Lord let me know my face is pointed towards Facebook because he wants to be able to help and to meet the people, to meet the needs of people in this particular generation where we are as well as other generations. Because what I've found, and this is where I want to ask that question, where I've found out, where I've seen a lot where people have contemplated suicide is because of situations where love has been involved, where emotions have been involved. Some people say, and Don, you got to talk to me now. Some people say that men are more concerned about certain areas where women will deal with things emotionally. And so there are women and men who are being involved in emotional chatting, who get in situations that have gotten hurtful, where they have even considered suicide. Can one of you all address this issue of this? Some of the things? I know chatting is a good thing now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but there are some who have gotten into situations that they should not have gotten in through chatting. I'm asking a question.
Okay. You want me to go ahead?
I'm going to get my spill on that.
Okay, I was going to wait on Shantae.
Okay. I've met quite a few people online, and my take on it is, you know, communication is a big thing. I mean, you speak back and forth, you put a question out there, someone responds to it. Although it's another person in the airways, if you know what I mean, or on the other, you know, side of things, say another state, or someone you're chatting with or something like that, you could really create a bond with those people by talking all the time, especially if you hit it off well. You know what I'm saying? You could really, really get involved into a deep type of soul connection. Don just did a show recently on soul ties. And that stuff is real. Like when your emotions follow, you know, when your emotions get into it and get involved, it really, really hits home and it can affect you. If someone says to you that you really, really like, you know, I don't like what you have on or something like that, even that can affect you. You know what I'm saying? It could really hit home. And if you don't have your mind is not solid or if it's not strong, or say you're not in a church somewhere where you can constantly get built up, those words can sink down on the inside of you and cause low self-esteem and begin to really dig in and affect you and affect your emotions. And all of that, it makes you cry. It makes you upset. It makes you sad. It hurts your feelings. You know what I'm saying? And chatting, I know I've met quite a few friends. I thought I was in love with them on the chat line, if you know what I mean.
Love.
And I figured out, you know, it wasn't as deep as what I thought. I mean, this is before I even laid eyes on them. So, I mean, even with that, our communication, we have to be really, really careful. Don't get caught up in certain situations that are no good for you. Be careful of what people say to you from the other side. Don't allow certain negative things to come in and enter in and sink down on the inside of you. Sometimes it can happen so fast that you don't even know it's happening. You know what I mean? Like, it can just hit you and you don't even know or you're not aware that that's happening. You know, and that's my take on it. Like, that can be some serious stuff right there. Like, that could really, really, you know, really hit home. Some kids have even committed suicide or even, you know, we've talked about our kids coming up missing or abandoned because someone from that other end of that chat line has reached out to them and made them believe that they were okay when they weren't. You know what I mean? They set them up, make them come to a certain location, end up killing them, you know, because they got them so mentally affected that they followed suit. They believed this person. You know what I'm saying? So we have to really, really, really be careful about that. Don't give up all your personal information online. You know, don't tell somebody your address or where you live and how your house looks, you know. We have to be careful because we don't know if they're stalkers. You just don't know.
That's a whole different
show
right there.
We've got
to have one on that, definitely.
Well, you know
what? Go ahead.
Did you want me to answer? Oh, I was going to answer a question. Carla B, we have time for me to answer?
Yeah,
30 seconds. 30 seconds is not a 30-second answer. But you know what? I want to answer Pastor's question. And I think if I'm correctly, she was asking, is there a relationship between suicide and the internet? You know, when I did some of the research that I've done on suicides, you know, I don't think that there's as much a relationship with suicide and the internet as much as there is, I think, the issue of the internet being more so used as the tool or the avenue to go into that arena. I think that when people go to the internet or they go to any other vice that they try to, you know, use to find themselves out of whatever situation they're in, I think that, you know, the internet just happens to be that vehicle. Before they get to that vehicle, I think they already have those issues. And what's happened is it's almost like a car with a faulty engine, you know, or let me see if I can find a better analogy. But let me just say it to you like this, family. You know, there's a large population of folks out there that have either tried or are contemplating suicide. A great number of those people are not in touch with the internet. They have no clue. A lot of these folks are locked within their own world. A good analogy I can use with that is that I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I have actually met people that live in Decatur and have never left Decatur. They've never left Decatur because they're happy in that box. So I don't think the internet is so much should not be blamed for some of the suicide attempts, but I do think that it is being used as a very effective tool in getting it out there, or at least in reaching in the directions in which, you know, that could obviously lead to other issues, you know, along those lines.
Thank you, guys. Carla, did you have any comments?
No, I'm in agreement with. I'm gonna piggyback on what John said. I know I offered him 30 seconds, but you know I'm in agreement.
It's a complex issue.
Yes, sir, it is. What I want to do right now, you guys, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with Queen G and just start off our next series of questions when it comes to suicide. Hold tight, family.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. We shape the life for a better tomorrow.
The champ is here!
Hey y'all, it's here, it's finally here, the buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with EOTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten, Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read EOTM Buzzwire magazine each month at eltmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
Alrighty, we're back, family, with the Suicide Show with the Queens of Internet Radio and Shantae Gibson and Carla B are hosting the show. We have a wonderful guest on with us, pastor out of the California area, is making some wonderful comments with us tonight, family. Pastor, did you want to have any? Did you have any comments on the last portion of what I said?
Okay, we're trying to get Pastor
Allen
back.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is
okay,
I'll walk away and take
a
break.
That's okay. I was asking you, Pastor Helen, did you have any comments on what I had mentioned before we went to the commercial break? I was talking about the Internet not necessarily being the reason behind so much of the suicide issues, but being it's more or less an accessible avenue, you know, for some of the things that are going on with suicide.
Well, I see that you're one that you keep your statistics really together and you know what you're doing. I don't know the statistics behind it because this is such a new vehicle or venue the Internet is, you know, where, you know, what's going on. But that's why I wanted to ask the question because I'm seeing the fallout from the chat thing. That's what I'm seeing. Not so much that people have actually committed suicide, but there are people who have gone through a lot of mental trauma and mental turmoil because of that, and of course, you know, again, suicide life to piggyback on a lot of things. One of the things I want to keep it on point because I know we can't go on rabbit trails and the issue and the subject is suicide. But I want to also address something I didn't address, which was again when you talked about Marie Osmond, and I too want to give my condolences to her family. And that one of the things I saw with that one, they did say that there was homosexuality that may have been involved. But then also I saw where his mom was Marie has been more out there. She's been more visible. She's been more in, you know, for the losing weight thing, for other products and her and the Dancing with the Stars. So she's been really out there a lot in the public eye. And as a result of that, sometimes not only I believe that it has something to do with the sexuality, sometimes young people want to send a message. You know, they're crying for help. They're crying. When I was a younger girl, one of the things I asked the Lord when I said, Lord, let me, when I grow up, please let me be at home with my children as they grow. Let me be a mom that's at home with my children because I missed my mom so bad. One of my sisters tried to commit suicide when she was a little girl. She tried to make me not tell anybody. She said she had drank bleach, and she said, Helen, please don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. And I said, no, I can't let you die. But one of the things that we missed as a, my mom had seven children. And so they were from the school that, you know, as long as you get your education and you do that, they worked, dad worked, two jobs from until 3 and then to 3 to 11, and mom worked until 7 in the evening time, so we very rarely saw them. And one of the things that I saw as a young girl was an ache inside of me. There was an ache inside of my heart wanting to have my mom, wanting to have my dad there. And I wondered with this young man that he had the issue of the homosexuality issue that may have been there. Then he had the issue of not having you know, the availability maybe of Marie as much as he might have wanted to. We don't know all the mechanisms, you know, that were behind it. And then one more thing that I just want to address because somebody did, and that was a rabbit trail, but it was a good rabbit trail when someone asked, how can people that get in families always feel like they're resentful when they're with families? I'm not going to say I'm a specialist on that kind of a thing because I'm not, but I can say this. I married my husband, who had 5 children when I married him. I had 1 son when I married him, and I helped him raise his 5. He helped me raise my 1, and then we had 2 that were together. And one of the things I see and I find out is no matter how, and now my children are now the oldest is 50 years old, and no matter how, we want to try everything that we can to be a good parent, a good mother, a good father, but sometimes there's something that just yearns, which it is human nature, that wants their own mom and dad. When I got with my children, I told my children, I said, I'm not asking you to call me mom because you do have a living mother. And I was one of those original Madeas. And back then, those 35 years ago, I said, I will be a Madea to you all, a mother dear. They call me now dear. But one of the things that as they're grown now, and they tell me, they said, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you did during the time, how you tried to love us. But yet still, when it all boils down, this is the issue of the one that asks, how can people feel like, you know, they feel so left out or they feel like they're not there? Because it's something about that just in the human nature that wants the natural mom and dad, that natural love that is there, you know. But there are people who can try the best that they know how to do to be able to show that, and I don't call my children stepchildren. I do not call them step. They are not anybody my stepchildren. But we can be able to give them the capacity, that love from in us. And I want to address just one thing to somebody in the listening. I'm always going to somebody in the listening area. One of the things that I dislike more than anything else is people who will only open their hearts of love to their natural blood people. We have to sometimes be able, to be able to just treat their children right or to be able to treat their people right. Now, I know none of us that are on this line will do that. But I'm saying that there are people that need to know we need to just come outside of just saying me and mine and blood, but to be able to extend ourselves, to be able to love, you know, people and to love, because that's what people are really looking for, is that love. I just wanted to say that. I know it's kind of like a rabbit trail, but sometimes there are people who will commit suicide because they don't feel like they're loved. I'm going to say this, Sean, you know, you told me you're going to be real. I'm going to say this, Sean. Sean's children are my grandchildren, and we love each other. And when my grandson, who had gotten in trouble, he may have been adopted, but he got in trouble when he was younger. When he came out of jail, where did he come to, Sean, Queen G? He broke out and came to Grandma's house. Well, you going to break out of jail and come to Grandma's house? But he came because he wanted to see Grandma. And that touched my heart that he would still, even though I wasn't his natural, I tell my grandchildren when they get up older, they say, Grandma, you're not my real grandma. I say, I'm your real grandma. I may not be your natural grandma, but I'm your real one. And I know that's kind of a rabbit trail in there, but I'm saying that because somebody needs to know we need to extend love to those who really need it. So that's, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Helen, and let me tell you something. It's okay to run that rabbit trail. Do you. Do you. Absolute Carla B. You with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to give it to Shantae so she can start with the next series of questions. We got about 16 minutes to go.
Okay. I just wanted to jump on what Pastor Helen was saying real quick about, you know, real family versus adopted family and that kind of thing. It's important for us to treat people with respect and, like you were saying, love them all. Don't single someone out because they're not blood related or treat them any differently than what you would your natural, because it really, really, really can affect that person, and it can affect them for the rest of their lives. So you have to be careful. Even as a child, like starting from young, they develop their personalities, everything, before they even become five. But a lot of people feel like they can do anything around that child or say anything or treat this one or that one, you know, differently, and they notice it. You know, people think that just because they're 2 years old, 3 years old, that they're not going to know or understand what's being done. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going into child development now. Children develop most of their personality before they even become two. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that before, but you could just tell. I remember a lot of things as a young person that happened to me, people that mistreated me, treated me unfairly, singled me out. I mean, I remember a lot of things, even from a young person. So you have to be careful how you treat people, children, teenagers, adults, the whole nine. And I mean, let's even talk about karma. What you put out comes back. That's a very natural thing. I mean, you mistreat people because they're not blood related. And a lot of people just don't know that. They think, you know, if that's my blood sister, brother, then I'm going to do them a certain way. And, you know, that other brother that got born into the family, you know, they don't mean the same because they don't have my same mom and dad. I mean, we got to stop all of that. You know what I'm saying? We got to get on track with things. And that's just a human statement that I'm making right now. You know,
that's
you have
wrong.
To be
that's what's wrong with a lot of families.
Go ahead, Don, what you say?
No, I was saying, I thought I was muted, but that's what's wrong with a lot of families. You know, it goes beyond just the I'm born into this family scenario. I mean, we did a show on haters. You know, I want to say it again to the family that's out there is that, you know, what Shante is talking about extends, I think, into that and how we hate on each other and we don't know the consequences or the actions that hatred or the self-hatred is going to cause. And I say self-hatred because I think everybody should realize that when you talk about Teresa's friend that was fat when she passed away, when you talk about Marie Osmond's son who took his own life because of his homosexuality or the issues he was experiencing, somebody tormented those people. And you know what? That's called self-hatred because guess what? We all, you know, are really tuned into each other. We're all a part of each other. And so when you hate on somebody like that, you're really hating on yourself. And that goes for family, extended family, stepmamas, grandmamas, grandbabies, and the whole nine. You know, we need to learn how to get along as a family and as a, you know, as a whole. And I think that's what transcends into that.
Right. I definitely agree. I really do. And we, you know, we have so many other things to talk about tonight, but I think that everything really went in sync because it had to go this way. So with that being said, I definitely want to put it out there that we'll be having a part three. But there's so many different aspects to suicide that we didn't even touch on, but we'll definitely have a part two, and we might just start a whole new series on this, you know, because, hey, it just seems like it was meant for us to do a segment such as this. We got about 12 minutes, so what I want to do is I want to go around the panel, and I want to give all of the hosts and our guests, you know, some time, probably about 3 minutes apiece, so we can say some last words. We've got about 11 minutes, and we'll go ahead and start it off with Pastor Helen, and from there we'll go to Don, and then Shante, and then myself. So let's go ahead, Pastor Helen. Pastor Helen, you with us? Okay. Queen G, if you could see if we can get Pastor Helen, then we'll let Don talk. Don, start here, and then we'll come to back to Pastor Helen.
Okay.
Go ahead, Don.
Go ahead, Don.
All right. You know, I want to say thanks again for allowing me to, you know, to come in on such a touchy subject. But, you know, I you know, as it, with any show that I'm a part of, I just want to put some things out there, some tools, if you will, for the family to use. That may think that they're experiencing some of these issues. Number one is, you know, we have to learn how to pay attention to each other.
And one of the things that I learned as a corrections officer, when I worked and behind the wall, is that when an inmate changed his attitude and began to give away his belongings, say goodbye without saying goodbye to people, write final letters out, you knew something was about to happen. This guy was, potentially going to, fall into the suicide category. So with that being said, I want to say this to your family. Learn how to pay attention to each other. When people start giving away their belongings, that's a sure enough sign. When they start saying goodbye and they start exhibiting strange behaviors as if they're going away for a long time. I say that to say this, that when you know that person personally and you know that they are experiencing some difficulties in life and then that type of behavior starts to surface, that's an issue. That's something that you may want to try to look at and address. And I think that if we pay attention to each other, and I mean literally pay attention to each other, we can perhaps put suicide on the endangered species list. So with that being said, family, I want to say goodbye to everyone and thank you again for having me. Oh, and tune in tomorrow night for the Don Adams Jr. Show. We're going to be talking about marijuana. Should it be legal or should it not be legal? No offense, Pastor Helen. Good night, family.
Praise God. Stay tuned to that. Yes, I'm here. I try to act like I'm contemporary, that? But I had the thing on hold and I couldn't get it off. Not hold, I had it on mute and I couldn't get it off. So but I couldn't get it off of there. I want to thank God for each one of you all. To Carla, to Queen G, thank you so much for inviting me here today, and to all Sweet Tea and all of you all, and to Brother Don. I really was impressed by each one of you all today, and thank you for having me here on the program. One of the things I want to say again is to reiterate again that we're not sure if suicide is a sin unto death. We know that we can ask forgiveness, but we're not telling you to do that in order to do that. We know blasphemy is. But we want to let you know that there is, to anybody that's out there listening, that there is a way out. You don't have to obey the voices that you hear. You don't have to obey those voices that may have been telling you to do some things. You can go and reach out for help. Remember what the Lord spoke through me today and even more through the Word, that Jesus specializes in healing a broken heart. I don't care if it's hopelessness. I don't care if it's drug addiction. I don't care whatever kind of addiction that it is. There is hope and there is help in God. And if you cannot go to a church to find your way, there are counselors and other avenues and venues that can be able to help you. As in Shantae's case, or where Queen G went, they took the man to a institution to be able to help him so that he could be able to be cleared out, to be able to think clearly. If I have a few seconds, I'm going to lift up each person that is maybe listening on this line. You may be affected today by something in your life. I use that authority that God has given unto us as a believer. This day in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you would touch every person's heart that is listening, so those who may be contemplating suicide, those who may have had thoughts in their minds or in their hearts. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord God, that you would shine light into their lives, that you would help them, Lord God, even when they cannot help themselves. And then, Father, I use the authority that you give unto us as believers in Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I bind, rebuke, forbid, arrest, and resist every spirit of hopelessness, retaliation, vengeance, all addictions, in Jesus' name, every spirit of suicide, I command you to bow your knee to the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Father, I commit each one to you and to the Word of your grace that's able to keep each one in Jesus' name, and I thank you. Thank you, each one that's on this line, and those who are in that are over this program. I give honor and glory to God for each one of you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sweet
Tea. Queen G.
Oh, it's my turn? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to say thank you, guys. Thank you for Pastor Helen for being on the air today. Thank you, Carla B., my co-host. Thank you, Don, so much for your comments and your statistics that you gave on today's shows. All of those things and details were very, very important. And my last comment was, for those that are listening, that are contemplating suicide, I just want you to listen to the tone of my voice right now. You are worth something. You count. You matter. There are ones that are in your community that love you. There are people that are on your job that love you. There are people that are in your family that adore you and love you. Don't do it.
don't do it. Don't take that. Don't take your life, you know, because you do matter. And it would just rip the very lives of those that are around you up. So I wanted to say that. Like, the after effect is just not good. We you know, you count and you matter. You're very important. You're important to me. And that's what I wanted to say.
That's what's up. Thanks so much for that. I want to take this time to thank, of course, my co-host, Queen G, Say to Say, Sweet Tea, that called in, and, of course, Don Adams and our guest, Pastor Helen Price. What I've gotten tonight was profound. It was so very thought-provoking, so thank you all. My last thoughts on it, I want to touch on some of the things Pastor Helen touched on, the spiritual
consequences of suicide, and I'm going to use the analogy of a play, so please listen intently. When you incarnate, you pick your parents and life circumstances. You are, in effect, accepting a role in a play. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into creating your role in this play. Other people may have wanted the role, but guess what? You got it. So now you're responsible for what you do with it. So you incarnate, and you're doing your part just fine. Then one day you find that the play is getting harder and harder to perform. Maybe you're late for a performance. Maybe you just don't like the lines you're getting. Maybe the audience is heckling you. Maybe your role is just really tough. You're in every scene, and you don't feel like you have a chance to catch your breath. Maybe you're in no scenes at all, and you're starting to feel ignored or like nobody cares. Maybe you don't like your fellow actors. Maybe someone else in the play is hurting you. For whatever reason, the role you've got just don't make you happy any longer, and you want to quit. Like in a real play, when you quit your role without notice, i.e. committing suicide, you leave a gaping hole in your wake. The role you were meant to play is no longer filled. So the other actors have to work around your part. If there was a love scene coming up, guess what? That other actor now has no one to perform with. Scenes need to be rewritten. Lines need to be reworked. Shows may even need to be canceled or, guess what, rescheduled. And you know what? You're responsible. So I don't just mean you're responsible for leaving them in this mess. You're responsible for fixing it, even from the other side. When you commit suicide, you are removing yourself from the play, which intersects tens or even hundreds of lives or more. Prearranged meetings now cannot take place. Children you are going to have now have to find other parents or life circumstances. When you prematurely drop out of the play, you leave a lot of people hanging. You can give up your role, but you cannot give up the responsibility you had in that role. So you are allowed to quit. Free will ensures you that you have the right to take your own life, but you must be aware of the consequences and the responsibility you have to every single person whose life you would have touched in a significant way. It's like if you were a parent of a small child and you wanted to go out for the evening, you need to hire a babysitter to take care of that child when you're gone. If you leave without doing that first, guess what? The child could suffer terribly, and then you would be responsible for that. I know life can seem really tough sometimes. Most of the people I know have contemplated suicide at some point in their lives. Sometimes life seems overwhelmingly hard, but you can change your life anytime you want. Whatever you got yourself into, guess what? There's a way out that doesn't involve quitting. You may get to the end of your life completely worn out, broken, and even devastated, but from a spiritual perspective, that's better than quitting. When you quit, you still have to learn all the lessons you came to learn. So don't quit, y'all. Don't quit the play. Just ask for help. Maybe you can be sent on a vacation or some understudy can perform your role for a while. Maybe you can get the writers to give you fewer lines or more support in your scenes, but don't quit. People are counting on you, including your higher self. God only gives as much as you can handle, but sometimes it's hard to remember how strong you really are. You're allowed to ask God for help.
God gives you that too when you ask for it. Accept the help when it comes, y'all. Mm. And quote, motivational quote, doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. Remember, sadness is always temporary. This too shall pass. Meriden, on that, thanks all night. Blessings. Peace.
You better believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it. Believe it.
Believe it. Blog
Talk Radio.
E-M-E-O-G-M. Hey.
E-O-T-M. My wife Carla started, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say too, they came through, taking their debut.
Yep.
In the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for sight. Maximize potential, reshape your life.
Yep.
Time ain't never wasted.
Oh, no.
They got blogs with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East. It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media is a maverick tutor.
Woo!
With Grandma Drip and Don Adams Jr.
Junior. Junior.
Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building.
Building.
O-G-M-A.